Welcome to Juice Podcast. I'm Emily Harmon.
I'm Gwen Douglas.
And today we're talking picnic wines.
Get your picnic biscuits, boo-boo. Yes. I'm excited. I love picnics, as you can tell.
I know.
I brought the gingham. I have many picnic baskets at home. I have little ones. I have big ones. I do love a picnic. And Berlin, you love lake culture here in Berlin.
Yeah.
You
love we did a picnic last week, yep. Last year at the lake. So we need to do that again.
I know. With the pina colada.
I know, and the cans of gin and tonic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we thought, why not help you, or at least try some stuff, because the two I brought, I actually haven't tried, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Start with you.
Let's start with me. So the first one we're going to try is from Canopus. It's called Pintom Pet Nat. This actually comes from the Yucco Valley in Argentina. So it's kind of a long way. So may I?
Yes, please.
So this is a Pet Nat made with Pinot Noir.
Mm. Oh, I'm already excited.
Unfiltered, unfined. Obviously, you can see the sediment kind of mixing through as I poured it.
Like a lava lamp.
Yeah, like a lava lamp. quite low in alcohol, so 11.2% it says on the back. I thought they had to round that up if it was coming into Europe.
They do what they want.
Don't want to get them in trouble. Yeah. 2020, so it's like obviously 6 months ahead of us, so yeah, a year or so old now.
Very light on the nose.
Yeah, really light on the nose. The colour's beautiful though, because it's this kind of salmon-y.
Yes. Yeah.
Salmon-y, peachy kind of colour.
I love it.
Yeah.
You definitely get more of the smell as you get in closer to it.
Mm.
Oh, it's so lovely and like
light and refreshing.
Juicy.
Mm.
Like a strawberry lip gloss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this sort of like veil of something sweet without being so saccharinely over the top sugary.
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, it really tastes a little bit like a rhubarb juice almost.
Yum. Yes, like a rhubarb
shawla. It's a tanniness to it.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I think when I was choosing my wines, I was thinking, one, about how easy it is, obviously, to open them, like when you're in a park or something like that, and you forget your bottle opener.
You can open this with a lighter, you know?
Exactly.
Easy.
Yeah.
Love it.
And a lot of people here, at least, have like the little
keyring
number or a key. You can even use a key. So, it's obviously closed with a crown cap. And also, there's something about this style of wine that just I really think about day drinking.
It's so because it has some creaminess too, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yum.
And kind of, and also with picnic wines, as much as you're like grazing on food, you're not eating rich food usually, and you're kind of nibbling. So the wines also need to be wines that you can just drink without food.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I think like you just want to be having some sandwiches or some nuts or some fruit or whatever, and you could be happily drinking this. I also love that the bubble is really
fine. Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than like you can, in warm weather, you could be drinking this and not like
really burpy
and feeling full. I think this is really lovely.
Yeah, right?
So I want to eat some little
sandwiches. I think also
with the
when
crust cut off with it.
I don't know if it's just me, but when you're picnicking, you want to want stuff that you can drink quite quickly.
Yes, because actually you don't want it to get warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah, because actually, well,
it's the temperature of the wine.
I'm just doing the wine justice. Fast drinking for the integrity of wine. Yeah. No, but this is a really lovely pick. Yeah. I would totally have this again.
I mean, this also lends itself also to the kind of brunchy vibe too.
You know, I love a good breakfast wine.
Yeah.
Mmm. Yeah, really lovely. Yum. It totally has that sort of shawla.
Yeah.
Like, very refreshing.
I think also because the bubble is quite delicate, where it's just existent.
Yes.
Yeah. That you don't want to be, don't want to be sitting down. But I think even when it's flat, like if you swirl it and taste it flat, it still tastes nice.
I kind of think, like, I even think that my partner Lucas, who doesn't ordinarily love fizzy wine,
would like this
because in that sort of like warm weather, actually, I don't know what it is about the effervescence is kind of nice in the hot weather.
Yeah.
It just kind of
feels less alcoholic. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like when you drink Pimm's and lemonade, you're like, there's no alcohol in this.
No, it's just a lemonade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of has this vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Very nice.
Yeah.
I would take the summer picnic. I just like want to eat tiny sandwiches with the crusts cut off.
I know.
A cucumber and cream cheese sandwiches or something.
Or even an egg sandwich.
Oh, it's my favourite.
I did that in spring when I did the cherry blossom hunt, the trail of the cherry blossoms, which is my little annual ritual of celebrating cherry blossoms, is doing my own little hanami.
And Brian has tons of them.
I mean, it's an amount, and also
this neighbourhood.
Yes. Down at the canal, there's an area there which...
It's all
me and my friends
along, right?
Call Vagina Point, because when you look at where the three parts of the canal meet and the shape of it, it does look a bit like a anatomical drawing of vagina.
So no man will ever find
it. He'll never find the best spot.
Yeah, there'll be a spot, the G spot at the top. One will ever find.
Yeah, the girls all know where to sit.
Yes.
but along there, there's like a whole row of cherry blossoms, and it's nice because there's that row, and they're the last ones to bloom. And then you've got like Prince Albert, nice. Like near Mauer Park where they go earlier. So you can literally have like 4 to 5, maybe 6 weeks of enjoying cherry blossoms, which is incredibly long.
And actually in this neighborhood, because I live not far away, all of the, they're redoing a lot of the buildings.
And they're replanting, they're planting them
everywhere.
Aren't they?
Yeah. I've seen it. It's like every new building that's being renovated has cherry blossoms being planted. So I'm really excited.
Listen, I totally get it. I'll be picnicking under every single one of them.
Yes. I mean, I kind of wish like, because we have some trees near our house that's crabapple trees. And I was like, why did you plant a tree that no one eats the fruit of?
So you can't eat crabapples.
You can, but no one... will. Yeah. And then you just end up like with bees and hornets and rats because you just get fruit that drops.
There's a
everywhere.
Lot of rats around lately, isn't there? I've been seeing a lot of rats.
They're having a good time this year.
I saw one swimming at a lake once, and that was really weird.
For some reason, when you said like, because I think it's like draw too many cartoons, when you said like rat swimming at the lake, I was just imagining him like, does he do a breaststroke?
Yeah.
Is he doing the
butterfly? That would be amazing if you could see a rat.
Maybe I'll draw a Berlin rat like having a wee butterfly stroke at the lake.
Yeah. I mean, they're doggy paddle, unfortunately, aren't they? They're
just, I mean, like me, same.
Like this.
Same. But what, did you already tell us what grape it was in this?
Pinot Noir. And for anyone Berlin-based, this is sold at Vinicle to very small quantities. And actually, I highly recommend just the rosé from Pintoms. Like, it's really excellent. They're not the cheapest, but they're also not the most expensive, considering how far they were shipped.
Yeah, great. I would totally buy this, I mean, all the time. Picnic in my mind. Living my picnic fantasy.
So I just wanted to check your AB. I think we should go on
10.
To...
Yes, I think we might have to try the glow. Or...
No, let's go to yours next.
Yeah.
I want to keep this a little
So I've also... I haven't tried either of mine, but I've been seeing everyone and their dog posting glow wines this summer. And everyone seems to be having such a summery good time that I wanted to join in. So it's also ground calf, which is also one of the reasons I picked it. It's also 10%. Oh, am I doing this wrong? You can see how little I open beer in my life. It's also, only 10%, and it's a blend of Scheurebe, Müller-Thurgau, and where did the other one go?
You told me just before that it's escaped from my mind.
That was me too. And Bacchus, that was the other one. I'll give you this glass here. So from the way it's described, sorry.
Thank you. Also a little bit of a fizz on that, or some CO2, right?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of something going on there. Kind of just looking at it, I already feel like I want to give it some air. So the manufacturer of this one is Glow Wines.
So it's called Glow Vice 2020.
And as far as I know, it was like a...
From Nahe,
right, and it's which I didn't realize was one of the last regions of Germany to produce wines.
What do you mean by one of the last?
It was more. It's one of the newest out of all the regions.
I didn't know that.
So it's like because 6 centuries after the Romans first cultivated the Mosel, so Nahe is like one of the most modern, I guess. And grew up in a traditional winery. I think Dutch, I don't know. Studied communication in The Hague, spent time in Berlin and Paris, and went back to wines. And now it's a brother and sister team that run the winery. And yeah, I mean, they have some great marketing because the labels look phenomenal. And when I'm seeing it all over people's photographs, it just looks always
fun.
Fun, yeah. Yeah. So I wanted to give it a try. And at 10%, for me, this is something I would be happy to sit in the sunshine and drink, because then you don't get like that horrible headache when you're drinking things that are too high in alcohol. It has a little bit of that, like,
I love it. It's quite aromatic, but it's got this kind of like salty grapefruit kind of note on the palate. Fresh citrusy,
and just
a freshly squeezed lemon.
Yeah. Mmm, yum. And Tole has like, it's not really sparkling. It just has that little
CO2 prickliness.
Just that little spritz, which I actually quite like.
Well, again, I think it just makes it easier to drink as well, because it just makes the wine feel even lighter.
I think also, like, because I love so much the Schmidt Müller-Thurgau, when I see something in this style that's sort of like cloudy, light, natural produced, I kind of want to have it now because of Schmidt, actually. Maybe they showed me that Müller-Thurgau has this whole other life than what we see just in German supermarkets. So I kind of feel like it's on par with this in its, like, I mean, different, but that has that sort of like Moorish, like not so sweet, actually. A little herbaceous.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely
citrus,
more on the
grapefruit thing.
It's definitely on that saltier, also that kind of like fresher, more minerally kind of crisp style as well.
Which I actually think is great. Because I think like I might be more drawn to something that you brought first, but I feel like you would probably drink more. Like I could drink a lot of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's still got a floral note on the nose, hasn't it?
And a little bit for beer drinkers, because I think it still
has a little beery, it definitely has that beery note.
And did you mention in another episode that is sometimes, like, not fully...
It can just be how, like, it can be the winemaking choice of the style of, like, how whether they've cold-soaked the grapes or not.
Because I really like that in a summer... Cause it does kind of make you keep wanting to go back in a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it does.
Oh, I could totally smash.
Yeah, beery is a good call. Actually, it really does smell like it's got this.
I think like it could be a
hoppy, wheaty kind of note, yeasty. Yeah.
Not unpleasant. I like it.
It smells a bit like a beer burp, actually. You know, you know what I mean?
That's gonna go down as one of my favorite wine notes ever. Like a beer burp.
Like a beer burp. But in a kind of good way.
Yeah, because actually when we did the Swiss...
Or like, do you know what it smells a bit like? A shandy burp.
Yes, shandy. That's what. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's Radler. Shandy vibes.
Radler. Yeah, they should just
Radler
call it
Radler. They should just call it Radler.
Yeah, people won't get confused by that.
Man, that's a great... That's really good. So lovers of shandy, which I used to... You know, as a child, imagine that I would get drunk on, but we were, you know, 0.5%.
But shandy's not like, shandy is so different in the UK to how it is here,
totally. Because I just remember shandy that you would buy, like, at the chippy. So, like, as kids, like, after ballet class, we would go to the chippy. I'd get a Savoy sausage and chips and a shandy.
Me too. I was always Savoy.
Sausage.
Yeah. The fish was too filling.
Too much, too fatty, too greasy.
And the Savoy had a sweetness to it.
That
processed meat.
I love it.
Probably from really badly taking care of animals.
You're probably the only other person that's like goes for the Savoy.
Yeah, Savoy and then ketchup, and then drown everything in vinegar.
Yeah, me too. Malt vinegar, everything.
Battered or unbattered?
What
the sausage?
Unbattered.
I'd have mine battered.
No,
as well.
I didn't like mine. Yeah. Like mine, crunchy.
So you had the bright red one.
Yeah, love it. It's like a cartoon sausage. Yeah.
Like Ludi.
Yeah.
Or Ludi's penis. That's her dog.
Ooh.
When the lipstick comes out.
Don't like
connect. No, I won't connect them out because I'm going to ruin it forever.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't had a Savoy sausage in probably like 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been a really long time. But shandy is... I mean, you're so dead on with shandy.
So you used to be able to get shandy at your local...
Just at like... Yeah, but I mean, they had like really inexpensive... You know, they'd be like 0.5% or like 1% alcohol.
But already bottled?
In a can. As kids.
Oh, this is
the
very...
80s.
The 80s. What was she doing drinking shandy in the 80s?
Yeah, I mean, because it was almost like just like a soda. So it was such low alcohol that like kids would buy it too, and we'd be like, ooh, we're going to get drunk on shandy. But it was like 0.5, like nothing's happening. But good call, because I think that's a really good way to explain it.
I mean, here there's a massive shandy culture. It's crazy. Like, I mean, more people, I would say... When you go out, like, I mean, it could be maybe not as equally likely as ordering a beer, but like, these people love shandy. So you can have grapefruit, Jandies.
Mmm, yum.
So for everybody who's not living in Berlin is listening, the Germans, the Germans.
The Germans.
Here it's called Radler.
Which is like about cycling, so it's kind of like the perfect cycle if you're like cycling out to the countryside. It's actually
not too pretty, alcoholic.
It's pretty good actually, because when you think about beer, actually has a lot of electrolytes.
Yeah.
So it is
vitamin B. Apparently,
yeah. So it's kind of one of those things that you do actually want to be consuming when you're.
Yeah. I mean, guys, don't hydrate yourself with water. Just drink beer or shandy.
Who needs a Powerade when you have shandy?
Yeah.
It's the Powerade of the 80s.
Medically approved by
Powerade of the 80s. You know? But actually, that's what's kind of funny is that, like,
no colouring in shandies.
But it's funny because when you think about, like, what we were drinking, like, imagine even just how they were marketing Mars bars for work, rest, and play. They were essentially, like, marketing Mars bars like they were a power bar, which now we see as, like, you know, we're going to buy, like, not, like, raw food, whatever. It's the same as, like, yeah, Radlers would have been the Powerade of the past, where it was like, get your electrolytes, get it down, you know, like, it's good good for you in one way, quenching and delicious.
I mean, if we were sailors on the boats many centuries ago, we would have only been drinking beer.
I'd be like, we would have scurvy.
That too, but we would
and drinking
be drinking
beer. Yeah, because you couldn't drink water, you'd be so sick. Yeah. So I think, anyway.
Well, as we all know, we've all seen the stories of drinking seawater and how it ends.
I've done it. That was...
Intentionally?
No, Dominican Republic. Oh, okay.
I thought you were like, I was out at sea and I had nothing else to drink.
No,
and
I had a wee panic swimming with sharks because I had my period and for some reason I thought the sharks would attack me. So ridiculous.
You know that they actually don't like human blood, so you're probably less likely to get bitten.
Like, why didn't no one tell me this?
Because apparently when that's why
too
they
bite
too much iron in the blood.
Interesting.
That's why they don't like it. Yeah.
So I had a bit of a panic. I'm not a good swimmer to begin with.
Also, like,
I did a bit of bloop, 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 and
but like you didn't have any.
I had a horrible three. Yeah, I did, but I still thought they could smell it. You know, they keep saying that like sharks are like they know everything that's up.
All of those women on their periods are like, taking out the sharks.
I mean, that's a horror. That's a B horror movie waiting to happen. Like,
this is what happens when you live in a patriarchal world. You're like, my period means that everybody's gonna kill me.
Can't go on holiday. Those sharks will get me.
You must stay at home, you dirty, dirty woman.
You know, I was in my early 20s. I believed it. I was afraid. I had a bit of a bloop bloop. Sunk underwater and had to, like, doggy paddled my way, like the Berlin rats, back to the boat. Bloop, 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 and then spent the next...
Get me out quickly!
Yeah, spent the next 3 days by myself in the hotel room. So, yes, I don't know how we got there.
I'm glad
anyway, let's move
not
on. Before I tell too much of my past, we move on. This is delicious.
I mean, I'm sure our listeners would like to hear more about periods. We can carry on. One thing I will say about periods is that I've seen as well that there are now tampons with CBD.
What? Yes.
Genius, no?
Love it.
For all the women out there that still use tampons, or use tampons, or might use tampons, there are CBD ones that apparently are to help with your menstrual cramps.
Someone just sent me some CBD gummies that I'm going to try this week. I'm excited.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I mean, I've transitioned to a moon cup.
Not happening for me. I am too much for a moon cup. Like, I feel like that's a t-shirt I need to wear. Too much for a moon cup, bitches.
I'd love to see the drawing that would go with that.
I actually saw a meme the other day of
there's
some
the rat that's lying on its back because it's given up doing
there was a I saw a video that was so funny of this like teenage boy who was like her name is Pinky. She's a comedian. And she did a thing about the vampire shot glass, because there's a kid that went viral for finding a moon cup in his girlfriend's bathroom, like, what is this? It's rubbery. Nah, nah, nah. He's like chewing it. And then she's like, you have found a vampire shot glass. Very bizarre. So this poor kid found this rubbery thing in his...
So he thought he was being funny filming himself.
Not understanding what the fuck he was holding in his hands. And then the internet basically... Yeah, turned against him.
That happened also when I was in the Canary Islands and it was on the side, it was clean. And then someone who was in the house that was sharing like went to pick it up and then I was like, what is this? this? Like, oh, this is really fun.
And you're like, mm-mm.
Yeah, and then Butch was like, no, that's a menstruation cup. And he was just like,
eat her.
He just sort of put it down. I was like, that's such a male response. I was like, there's no blood on it. Like, it's
clean.
Yeah, like, come on.
Pretty funny.
It's like, how long is it going to take for it to be normal to know that, like,
we
women have a week of a month,
yeah,
that, like, that's going to happen. Like, it's just like...
And the thing is...
We can't control it.
And you're missing out on a great amount of humor because women make crazy amounts of jokes about it because we live it. It's funny. It's weird, but it's...
It's funny and awkward, like... Yeah, it's funny because it's awkward.
It's a huge part of our lives. Like, a quarter of our lives is spent basically bleeding. A quarter of it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of time. So get on board.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't want to hear the moon cup. We don't want to speak with you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. So, we're going to move on from the moon cup.
We're going to move on. So, I bought wine.
I'm excited about even that the bottle is brown is an interesting choice, actually.
It is, isn't it? Why don't you ever smell it? So, also a screw cap.
Mm, so, very mineral.
Yeah. So, I bought 2019 Ochoa Barrels Weird Berries in the Woods. So this is a wine that comes from South Australia, in Australia, from the Adelaide, I think actually it's from the Adelaide Hills, but I know that I think the fruit's from the Adelaide Hills for this particular wine, but I know that he had been producing wine in McLaren Vale for many years. So actually when I first worked in Australia at a restaurant called Attica in Melbourne, in 2009, this man showed up on one of the days I was there, and Ainsley, the restaurant manager at the time, spoke with him. And at this point, he was still labeling all the, like, numbering all the bottles per hand with his girlfriend or wife, his partner. And she's like, oh, this guy showed up with, like, dreadlocks or, like, this crazy, he's a bit of a hippie, and he's, like, selling us this wine, we should try it. And I think it was Grenache. And so these are really interesting wines. And since then, becoming one of the more iconic producers of the natural wine movement in Australia. And actually, he passed away last year.
Oh, no.
At quite a young age. So that's quite sad. So the wines, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
so I don't know what's going to happen with the wines. That's, and I was like, and also, Gwen, I don't know if you've read the back label.
No, I haven't.
But it's a Gewürztraminer.
I mean, that's why I was like, what's going on here?
So what's going on? Yeah.
I was really having what's happening?
But my style of Gewürz, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like if my style and actually it has some minerality
two worlds
on the
meet.
Nose. Yeah.
Because
I don't know if I would have picked it out. It's funny because when I took a sip, I was quite surprised because the initial nose is quite mineral and herbaceous.
But it's exotic and floral, but you get more, you're right, you get more of this herbal note.
But then when I took a sip, it was the mouthfeel that threw me off. Because it has actually that body of a Gewürztraminer, that sort of like silkiness,
texture.
Like it just feels so nice in your mouth. But still a little herbaceous.
Buttery as well.
Oh, yes,
but
and
fresh.
Long finish.
Yeah, wow. So yeah, most of you won't get these wines anymore, but I think I just thought actually it'd be really nice to feature the wines and kind of give a little nod to Taras, who spent a long time producing very beautiful, bright, clean wines. It's difficult to make wines like this in hotter climates, and
totally.
I think this is a really
good
example. Picking earlier.
I would not have maybe guessed or deduced that this was a Gewürztraminer. I mean,
but now you know, can you see it?
Yes. I think now that I know, I can, especially with mouthfeel, the sort of like...
Yeah. I mean, it's 12% alcohol, so it's still light. And I think this really is like the style of Gewürz I'd want to drink at a picnic, where it's fresh, not too cloying.
Yeah, because you wouldn't... Yeah,
and not
say,
too intense.
Yes. Right.
Like, it doesn't completely
knock
you out.
It has some mystery to it. And I think now that it has a little minute in the glass, you definitely sense more of the aromatics a little bit. Yum.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. I'm like, fuck yeah, nice pick.
Yeah.
But then I'm curious about the choice to put it in a brown bottle. If that's just a...
Maybe because he's shipping it so far, he just wants the wine to be protect. I don't know.
Because brown
bottles
do protect,
right? We can't ask
him. Yeah, because that's only one thing that I noticed when I was bartending, is that beers in green bottles tend to go off, actually.
Okay.
Brown often, I don't know if this is a scientific fact or just something I noticed, but I feel like brown bottles help from light interactions. So
okay.
I find it an interesting choice to put a white one in a brown bottle. You don't see it so often, right?
Yeah, no, you don't. You don't, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just like a...
I don't know, and unfortunately...
We can't ask him.
Yeah, but...
really lovely.
Yeah, beautiful. And I love that actually a lot of his wines always had a very poetic edge to them too, in terms of just how they were... Like, not just in terms of the style, but like the names of the wines, like Weird Berries in the Woods.
Right.
It's kind of beautiful.
I kind of feel like an acid
wine
trip.
Does taste like... Yeah.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Gives you a sort of sense of a wildness and an experience, yes. Or like what you might explore and find.
Yeah.
The mouthfeel for me is really like silk.
Yeah.
It just
feels because you've got that little bit of viscosity, but the acidity takes it further on, so it's not too cloying.
I'd be curious. I really like there's a little bitter finish on there that makes me wonder if he was using stems also or something like this.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it was whole bunch pressed, because I think that would also make sense of that herbal kind of edge.
That's
kind of
what
right?
I'm feeling.
That leafy almost. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Which I feel like comes from a vinifying process rather than the Gewürztraminer grape.
Yeah, and I mean, that would also make it feel fresher.
Yeah, which I think is, and you're totally right, because I even as a Gewürztraminer lover, wouldn't go for a Gewürztraminer necessarily, even natural skin contact ones usually for a picnic, because even the natural ones I find are sometimes a bit too much.
Well, Gwen, some of us know a bit about Gewürz and different styles. I'm not going to try now.
I always think, you know, because I think of Gewürztraminer always as this sort of like vintage dress that has like a different occasion. And when I think of this, then maybe I would think more of a 90s a dress that would be like a slip dress.
Yes, I was thinking a slip.
Like a satin slip
even
dress.
Even just a little black one with little skinny,
and you're like,
straps.
Normally it's underwear, but today I'm just going to wear it to the lake. Yes. Like, that's how I feel about it.
I mean, Berlin, you see that, like, that's what people
everywhere,
wear to clubs, that's what they wear just to the local corner shop. It's very common, with a pair of black boots. Yeah.
I think this is also one that's going to give you a lot of pleasure as it goes, because even now in the few minutes that we've had it in our glass, it's like things are coming alive.
Revealing itself.
Yes. Because I get more fruit coming now. Yeah. Amazing. Yes.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to that one in a bit. So I brought, the last one that I brought is also another one I haven't tried. It's how little I've gotten out this year. I'm a tiny bit afraid to open it because I have bad luck.
I think it's
going to
be fine, but you just pop it away,
Point it away from, so let's just give it a little.
Woo!
It kind of makes
what
me
what a great noise!
No, we're good.
That was really funny. So for anybody who... is listening and not seeing.
A little panic there.
Gwen opened the bottle of wine, which is basically in a Grolsch bottle. Like that would be the clearest.
I was
going to
say a Grolsch.
Yeah. So like one of those pop beer bottles, which is quite common here in Germany, and it started to bubble up and there was kind of like a smoke coming out of it, and then...
I panicked.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to overflow, but isn't it 45 degrees is the best angle for...
It's fine.
They say if you're opening something with bubbles, that 45 degrees lets things escape without overflow.
Also for when you blend two bottles of sparkling together, you shove them both at that angle.
So this is an Austrian...
Nice.
He makes two, a raw white and a raw rosé. I think this one is just called Raw Rosé 2020.
So it's from Eschenhof Holzer. Producer.
And it's described as a pretty raw, slightly foaming and fruity casual rosé pet nat in a swing top bottle. And I lived in the Netherlands for quite a number of years, so actually that popping sound of the Grolsch bottle, because that's how they advertise
it. Oh my god, again.
It's like home. I look in that sort of, because you know, you hear people, you go to the movies in the Netherlands and Grolsch is sold in a lot of theaters, so right before the film I was like, you hear it all over the theater. So there's something for me about the pop top that makes me think of the Netherlands.
You're like, hang on a second. I didn't come here for Stomp.
Yeah.
I'm here for the cinema.
But I think it's a fucking phenomenal idea for a packaging for a picnic wine, because you can also close it easily, bring it to the next location. You're not sort of like...
Are you going
to
be doing that with that size bottle? I mean,
no,
it's like...
It's a personal
500
size.
Mils.
But I love it. You can just...
It's a personal size.
It's a wine on the go. I actually also like that it's a smaller bottle, because maybe you don't want to commit to a whole bottle of wine if you're at the lake.
Well, not maybe if it's a drive. Personal wine as well. Yeah. Maybe if you're driving. You just drink 500 mils of wine. And
yeah, but I think like not opening like a full 750 mil bottle.
Yeah, you're right.
You go to the lake, you still want to enjoy something. Maybe you're alone, maybe you're with one other person. This is a good like, we're going to have a bit, but not too much. So this one is 100% Zweigelt, which I didn't know is the most planted red grape in Austria.
Yeah, because it's used for a lot of bulk, more of the, well, there's that much bulk wine in Austria, but it's a fruity, easy drinking.
Already, it's got that like strawberry ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhere between strawberry ice cream and like blueberries.
Yeah.
But this fruit juice kind of...
Definitely much sweeter. There's definitely like...
It's like raspberry ripple is how I describe it. That kind of vanilla-y thing going on. Lovely. I mean, this is great.
This is like if you bring cake with you to the picnic.
Oh my God, I was just thinking
chocolate
about...
Chocolate cake.
I was also just thinking about birthday cake and how great it is. Isn't it funny though, like when you're a kid you can eat so much birthday cake and it's so sweet, and then I was at a child's birthday a few years ago. Doesn't happen often.
I thought you were like, a few years ago a child I know turned something.
And it was a child I know and I was invited, just that really clear. But and it was birthday cake and it was this
rainbow. I was like, you have birthday cake?
Yeah. No, I'm like, that's the only reason why I came.
I love birthday cake.
Especially when they're like small ones that aren't even eating the cake and you're like, why are we even having
lost
here?
On them.
Like, I've just spent like 30 euros on your child's present that they don't even know that they've got. But that's love for friends, we're not gonna get there. Anyway.
Birthday cake.
Yeah, birthday cake. And they had this rainbow cake. Oh my God.
That was my favourite as a kid, rainbow cake.
I mean, I have just discovered it as an adult. All the colours and then that thick white icing.
Oh yeah, no,
and I was like,
no,
cut me
a bigger thinking like,
cut me a bigger one.
My mum called it crazy cake. She just put all the colours in and then swirl it up.
It's like a tie-dye cake.
Yeah, exactly. That was my favourite. But anyway, sorry, rainbow cake. That shit takes
a
lot
of layers. Yeah,
yes.
All of this, and it's all
so
bright
beautiful.
Colours. Yeah, and I was like, this is delicious. But actually, as you get older, you realise tolerance
sugar.
For sugar
gets much lower.
But I got halfway through, and I was like, oh,
ooh,
man.
Gotta lay down.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I can finish this all
you're
now,
having a
but
rush.
It's so good. Yeah.
Having a touch of the diabetes.
Yeah, isn't it? Why is it that kids can just process sugar and just be fine?
Tiny bodies.
Tiny bodies. I don't know what that means.
Birthday cake. And you know what's really funny? When I worked as a bartender, there's a shot that you make called birthday cake. And I'm going to get it wrong now, but it does include, it's like Frangelico, a creme de cacao, and I think lemon juice. Because interestingly, birthday cake is generally like quite sweet, chocolatey, but there is that like acidity to birthday cake, like classic North American birthday cake. Yum.
This is it.
Man, I want
to... If ever there was a wine that tastes like birthday cake... It's Eschenhofer. Raw rosé's vibe.
It does kind of give you this like lovely childhood memory taste.
And also just, it really does taste like summer, like going back to my roots of being, like growing up in England where berries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberry picking, you know, raspberries, all of this stuff was just abundant.
I want to eat this with a Victoria sponge.
Jam, like, exactly. Jam sandwiches. Even just having a jam and butter sandwich on white processed bread.
So our picnic is going to be like cucumber sandwiches.
Jam sandwiches now. And I forgot to, when I went off on the tangent about cherry blossoms, I was going to say I made little egg sandwiches where I cut the dust off. So egg and cress.
I still make egg and cress a lot.
Cucumber, finishing with jam.
My two favorite sandwiches are tuna and egg. So during lockdown, I was like getting really into making egg. And or tuna sandwiches. And actually, you might like my tuna sandwich. Super easy. Kewpie mayo. Fresh ginger. Sweet corn.
Yeah, you gotta go with sweet corn. Mayo? No mayo? Oh, we got kewpie. Yeah.
Kewpie.
Yeah.
That was that. And then, you get the adobo chilies from the Super Iberico and you do tuna with the adobo chilies. Man, I got really into it. Capers and olives. Deviled eggs are one of my favorite things. And Damien, that you also know, who recently got married, congratulations.
Congratulations.
He loves a deviled egg. So now every time I see deviled egg recipes online, I send them to him. But deviled eggs, just like green relish or pickle, mayonnaise, paprika.
I feel like I've had deviled eggs for like breakfast at your house or brunch at your house.
We've done them I think maybe when you came over, it would have been.
When we had the sambal and everything out.
So I think those eggs would have been kewpie mayo with sriracha. And then we normally do the onions, the fried onions that you get. the sort of like Asian fried onions.
Yeah.
Sprinkle that, some green onions, a little hoisin, a little, or whatever, some healthy boy thick soy sauce, I should say,
sounds
rather
great.
Than hoisin. Man, deviled eggs. Sometimes I do it with like hot mustard and cheddar.
Yum.
I just love eggs. Eggs and tuna.
Yum, 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 yum.
You can tell that we miss sandwiches living in Greece.
Sandwiches and crisps.
And just like, oh yeah. Oh, I had some prawn cocktail crisps in Greece actually a while back.
Walkers or better ones?
I think they were like fake walkers, but they were still delicious.
Lace.
Yeah. Which I realize is essentially just ketchup and mayo flavored. Salt and vinegar.
It makes sense. I mean, that's prawn cocktail, isn't it? That's what we've put on.
Exactly.
It.
Just a ketchup chip.
Burger sauce, also known as, right?
Mm.
Anyway, this is a lovely way to finish. Full of fruit.
Yes!
Full of
good
fruit.
Dessert. Who needs food? We've got a good lineup.
Yeah. Who needs... Exactly. So what you've learned today is... Gewürztraminer isn't always rich.
Yes!
Moon cups come with a lot of misunderstandings.
Yes!
And you don't need to have food on a picnic because you can just organise.
Yes.
Make you.
Actually, like, really, I've been very excited about this episode because I hadn't tried any of these before. So it's been, like, an absolutely super fun discovery. It's been a while since I've been on a picnic. Did some early summer. And now I feel...
That fire has been reignited.
I know. Going to dust off the old picnic baskets again and...
The little can of tuna is...
I mean, I have a whole cupboard of cans of tuna. Oh, I have boomer parents, you know? I'm always ready for the apocalypse. There will be tuna at my house. So, I think on that note, you can find us on Instagram at juice.podcast.
On Twitter, juice_podcast. On our YouTube channel, Juice Wine Podcast.
Please subscribe. Make
this
happen.
We appreciate it, yeah.
And otherwise, I'm Gwen Douglas.
And, I'm Gwen Douglas. I'm Emily Harmon. You can find us on our... Obviously, I've had too much wine. And this is why you should have food at picnic. So I'm going to start that again. What I was about to say, which is what I want to, like... autopilot was... I'll go even more red. But was actually... Gwen has a new line of merchandise, which you can find on Instagram at Grape Soda.
Yeah, grapesoda.shop.
Yeah.
There'll be some actually wine-related stuff out at some point when the summer is over, because, you know, you guys are all busy saving money for trips. So.
And I have a little online wine shop that will launch in September.
Sublime.
Wine, which is sublime.wine. And that's on Instagram, and that's the URL for the shop.
We'll put all the links in all the everything.
Yeah. So on that note, I'm Emily Harmon and I'm nobody else.
I'm Gwen Douglas and
see you next time.
Cheers.